Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to ScaryCast on Tuesday, live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I hope everybody's doing well. This is Dr. John Stamey. I'm your host and glad to be here. Glad I've got my co-hosts with me. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We've got a really neat topic we're going to discuss. So first of all, from Ewing, West Virginia, and nobody knows where that is, Matt. I'm just laughing. Anyway, here is Matthew Dell. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing great, doing great. I'm on vacation, so I'm enjoying it.
Well, that's good. I was treated to the fact that my favorite Mexican restaurant is closed Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 6 days. And so today they were, everything was on sale, and they were giving you lots of food because they had to get rid of it because they're going to be closed for 6 days. So it was kind of neat, you know, and I enjoyed it. We had 25% off. So anyway, it was great, and yes, we all have the holidays coming up, and it's exciting, so glad to have you with us. Okay, Matt?
I'm glad to be here.
All right, good. And from Houston, Texas, the one and only Kyler Smith. How you doing this evening, Kyler?
I'm doing amazing as well. Just got back from my vacation / event trip with my group, so yeah, I'm in a great mood.
Well, that's great. You're probably a little tired like me. I had a long weekend running a Comic-Con, but it was good. And, I mean, we had a great crowd and a lot of excited people. So just glad to be back in Myrtle Beach, getting back in the groove, and looking forward to a few days of rest before we hit the Grand Strand Comic-Con this Saturday and Sunday at the Myrtle Beach Convention Center. 10 to 5 both days, put on by Brad and Jen Miller, two of my very good friends. And so everybody from the Myrtle Beach area, please go out to the one, the only Grand Strand Comic-Con, and it's going to be a good one. I know it is. I'll be there. I'll have my paranormal books and everything. So it's going to be great. And let's see, and one other announcement I wanted to make, tomorrow afternoon, I'm sorry, at 1 p.m., this is Dr. John, and I will be on Jessica Jones' show, A Glitch in the Matrix. And Matt, guess what I'm going to be talking about? Can you even guess what I'm going to be talking about?
It's kind of not fair because I already know, but...
okay. Well, I guess I told you. I'm going to be talking about who shot Lincoln and who killed JFK, the definitive answer. We're going to answer those questions that everybody's been trying to answer, and they don't get it right. Well, they just haven't talked to the same people that I have, and I'll give credit to the Ryan Research Institute. That kind of got my foot in the door with this fella that kind of told me a few secrets that have to do with Nikola Tesla. So it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to have the link up on the ScaryCast website right after this show is over. And everybody can go listen to it tomorrow at 1 p.m. and let me know what you think. So anyway, it's going to be a blast. And I'm really looking forward to it. So, yeah, and by the way, Matt, Jessica sends her best to you. She's a lovely lady. She's very nice. So anyway, thanks, Matt, for introducing me to her. And she's had me on... This is our second show, and she wants me to yell at you and say, Matt Delph, you need to get on her show.
Yeah, I promised her a show. I've got to make time to do that sometime. Under me
yes,
for a while
you
now.
Do. All right. Well, now I'm getting ready to jump into our topic tonight. We don't have a guest tonight. We have a topic. And Matt Delph suggested this. He's a very creative guy, and he gets out there, and not only is he a boots-on-the-ground researcher, but he also does his homework. And he watches YouTube videos and explores things and tries to put them together. So tonight we're going to talk about three people who shared a house in Daddleston, England, and their amazing, amazing story. I just heard about this about a couple hours ago. I've already bought the book, The Vertical Plane, and it's going to be coming on November the 28th, and I really can't wait. I'm pretty excited to get it. So I'm not going to spill the beans. Matt, why don't you give us a summary of what this incredible adventure is about. So now I'll say is this. You got three people, two gentlemen and a lady, living in kind of a row house in Daddleston, England, and they're renting it. And what happened?
It was on December 1984. Now, like I said, this is in Daddleston, which is in England. It's close to Wales. And they had went out for the evening. But prior to this event, they had these strange happenings happening in their house. So you had stuff like they had tracks going up the side of their wall. They would paint over them, and they would reappear. They had poltergeist stuff going on, like chairs being stacked, stuff being moved around the house. They'd hear footsteps. So, of course, you know, they're a little startled. They're thinking, you know, somebody's playing a joke or prank on them, possibly from the neighborhood. Well, in 1984, if you recall, we didn't have, at the end of 1984, they had a old computer. I guess it's old to us now, but at the time it was probably pretty new. But they had it in their house, and they had come back from a night out, and they had seen there was a message left. There was lights on the computer, and there was a message left. And apparently, this gentleman, once they started talking or they started looking and there's more messages coming through, supposedly this gentleman that was talking to them had come from like the year 1520 or 1540. They couldn't quite,
they got it narrowed down to 1521. Okay.
So, and what's weird is, okay, back then we didn't have the internet like we do now. We don't have, you know, it wasn't hooked to nothing. So they thought that was pretty odd. And so, of course, what was it, Kenny, that was a school teacher? He takes these messages and he takes them to where he's at. And he's got a friend that's into the history and stuff. And, you know, this is something to this. This is old English. And thought something was kind of weird because it had proper punctuation and stuff that wouldn't be back at that time. But as time went on, they decided, okay, we're going to respond to this person, see if we have anything come back. Well, apparently they do. So they're getting messages back and forth. So they're conversing back and forth, and then they're like, so what year, you know, are you from? And that's when he describes like 1521, but they go back and they look in the history, and supposedly it was like 1541 when the king and all this stuff that he had described had taken place. Well, so they tell them that they're from 1985, and they're like, oh, wow. The response is like, I thought you were from the year 2109. So there's a third party involved in this now, one from the future. So they keep going back and forth, and this 2109 comes back and addresses them and tells them that They're not there to change your mind or to persuade them any way. Basically, what's happening has got to happen. And they were kind of vague about it. So they bring in, what is it, the SPA?
The Society of Paranormal Research in England, which is, you know, they're affiliated with some pretty well-known folks like the Ryan Research Institute that I was associated with for 4 years. It was the, it's a pretty credible organization, pretty tough organization,
so,
actually, as we will see.
They're the oldest, too, I believe, aren't they, from like 1892?
Yeah, they are. They're from right before the turn of the century, and they do send out investigators to figure out what's going on when there's a need for it.
Exactly. And so they're trying to debunk this. So they bring in these paranormal investigators, and was it John Bucknell? And I can't remember. Do you remember the other investigator? It was a Welch.
I don't remember the name, but I mean, yeah, you know, they, so we have two researchers from the Society of Psychical Research, is I guess what we'll say.
Well, of course, they're trying to debunk this whole thing. And this 2109 kind of intervenes and says, hey, because they had them separated, they were trying to ask questions that Deb and Kenny, the people that lived there, and Rick wouldn't actually see what they were asking, and they were getting responses. It was weird was because 2109 comes back and it tells them, hey, this is, you know, have so-and-so sit with Debbie next time. And so it knows everybody's name that's there, and it knows what's going on, which is really weird. And this 2109 character is strange to begin with. And what was kind of cool was they knew what was going on right there in the present, but supposedly they're in the future, and you got somebody coming back from the past. So they look into this history, and they think, well, maybe it's a hoax that paranormal group says, oh, well, they couldn't define anything. But what was strange was when you go back and look, the SPA don't even have a record of anybody showing up there or doing the investigation, or even one of the people that were there was not even supposedly on this case. They didn't even have nothing on this person. Kind of odd.
So in a sense, it was almost as if some men in black showed up, did the investigation, and they pretty much vanished. Would you say that's kind of a one way of looking at it, Matt?
Exactly. Yes, definitely. And so they're asking more questions, and so they're trying to debunk this themselves as well. And they get looking, and they had it was some kind of red stone the house, so they're asking the guy from 1521 I believe his real name was Thomas, wasn't it? His house was, and he said it was a red stone clay like, but their house wasn't. So they're doing some gardening, and they actually noticed that, hey, there's an old foundation there that had that red cobblestone foundation. So that just goes to prove, you know, okay, this is going on from the past.
Matt, I guess I'll say this entity from the past hit the bullseye when it called. Well, the house was made of red stone, and it hit the bullseye because they found the foundation, and sure enough, it was made out of red stone. Correct?
Exactly. Correct. And they go back, and they're still meddling around with this stuff. And the 2109, I believe, didn't they say that they're fueled from a gas form yet not known to us yet? and
something like that, yeah.
And they say that they're kind of getting irritated with Ken and Debbie for meddling with this, and they come in and the computer has been moved, and they had a message. It said "Your last chance" written in chalk on the floor, which is really odd. And so then they get a message back from 2109, tells them to contact a UFOologist, and to have him, and his name was Gary Lowe, and they even gave his phone number. They said, you need to contact him. He will straighten this out for you and tell them that you are UFOologist as well. You've got some stuff. So they call this guy up, and he shows up at the house, and he's corresponding with this 2109. But what's really odd is, okay, putting letters in this envelope and placing them there on the next to the computer, on the computer. Well, he's getting responses back in that envelope with printed out messages. They don't know what they were. They won't say what they are. So he asks, or he says, okay, I understand. He said, we can't talk about this. He knows what's going on. And he basically leaves Ken and Deb just high and dry. He just basically just, and they don't hear from this guy ever again. And I thought that was odd in itself. So they had to do something to kind of make you wonder, okay, so if this guy's brought in, he's given this message, instructions of what to do, and he still won't, you know, basically tell them what's going on. It's like all this has been happening for that one messenger, or whatever they're trying to do has to play out. Kind of makes you wonder, too, because, okay, you're wondering how, and I start thinking back, and as you listen, you hear about from the guy Thomas from back in the 1500s, of course, witchcraft was really bad. So they said that he had sorcery, and they actually had him jailed at one time during this time period for witchcraft, as they claimed. And he claims that this man had appeared out of his fireplace and put a light box on his table. And I assume, because he called it the devil lights, I assume, if you think back in the 1500s, it would be pretty freaky that this thing would be the computer that he's corresponding back and forth with these people from the Donaldson house. And as time went on, of course, you know, you still got chairs being stacked, weird stuff going on. But it was interesting because he said that he had wrote a book and he had put it somewhere. Well, 2109, the last time they address or respond to anything, say that within time it will be found and everything will be to light.
Revealed.
But not yet.
All will be revealed, right?
Yep, exactly. Within time. So this whole thing has got me thinking. You got these time is supposedly non-existent. So if we've got somebody living in the same area from 1500s, and that's his reality of what he's going on, and then you got somebody from 1985 there, and that's their reality going on, and you got somebody from the future. So it's like time only exists to the consciousness of that present person, or that, I don't know how you'd explain it. Do you see where I'm getting at?
Well, right. I mean, the whole argument is time is a human creation.
Exactly.
And time, and what they're talking about is they've got an entity from 1521. They've got themselves from 1985, They've got these entities from 2109, and it's like they're all there together in separate planes. And I guess that's why they call the book The Vertical Plane. Because,
yep.
Right, so in fact, I ordered a copy of that book just before the show. I can't wait to get it, and I'll report back because I was hoping that someone had recorded those messages. I mean, I think they're pretty much fascinating. And Matt, thanks for telling us a little bit about this story. I'd like to take over just a moment, and I want to discuss something. Last night on ScaryCast with Robin McRae, I'm not going to say who it was. We had the most horrible skeptic I've ever heard who just doesn't believe anything unless it's an absolute, doesn't believe in that there's a Bigfoot unless you can see one. I mean, that's just kind of, you know, dumb, to be honest with you. If you're listening, well, it's kind of dumb. But at least I didn't say it on the show. And, you know, these absolutes are just kind of crazy. There's only so much proof that you can have with an entity, just in terms of Bigfoot, that's trying to hide himself from us. And what I've done is I've isolated three major points that the skeptic will try to follow to debunk whatever you have got. So I'm going to give each of these points, and then I'm going to talk about how a skeptic would debunk the Dattlesham Cottage affair. First of all, they would say, well, I just don't believe it at all. Well, you know, it's kind of hard to, I mean, you know, Ken and that lady, I mean, they'd say, well, we've got these messages. Well, I just don't believe it at all. It's hard to kind of answer to that, isn't it, Matt?
Definitely. I agree. And they even seek outside help. So.
Right.
They actually had people try and intervene.
Right. Then comes the argument, well, it's just too fantastic to be true, which is slightly different from I don't believe it at all. It's just too fantastic. It couldn't be true. So, you know, that's what they say. And then finally, if that's not enough, they attack the person. So what they could do is go back in the background of Ken and the other two, and they could find out anything that they've done wrong and say, well, how can you believe so-and-so who's done the following bad things? And so it's called attack the man. So that's how a skeptic would dispatch this, you know, this great occurrence. I mean, I think it may have happened. I mean, I really do. Kyler, what do you think about it?
There's too much information going back and forth that seems to be backed up, like it's actually coming from somewhere and it's real. So I have no reason to think that it wouldn't be real. I mean, then again, I wasn't there, so who knows? But yeah, to me, I was listening to the story and it sounded great. I mean, I would have loved to be there to be able to witness it and see all that.
Now, one thing I forgot to mention, I was going to say, 2109 altered some of the messages coming from Thomas from 1521. They had altered some of these messages. So whenever they were coming through, not all of them, the reason that they were kind of, it's like 2109 did not want Deb and Kenny and Rick to know exactly who it was and what was going on at the time. They had changed some of the information, trying to throw them in a false research. They did find
right.
that out.
And I want to make a point right here. A lady, a linguist from Cambridge University, said, oh, well, this couldn't have been someone from 1521 because things were kind of jumbled up. They don't change the verbs, but the nouns, they do change. And so she didn't like that. But then again, all that could have been part of 2109 making changes to the messages coming through. Do you agree with that, Matt?
Yeah, I definitely. I believe that was the whole thing because they were getting irritated because they had something going on that had to take place and they didn't want it messed with. So,
right, and I can't wait to get this book. And if you know, my Amazon Prime said that I would get it by November the 28th, which is in 6 days. So maybe week after next, what I can do is I can kind of go through some of these messages and see which ones sound a little bit curious. And so, Matt and Kyler, would you be okay if I did that and we talked about these messages 2 weeks from tonight?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see why not.
Well, good. No, I think it'd be interesting. And you know what? We might ask our favorite remote viewer, Robin McCray, if she would join us. Would that be okay, Matt?
Yeah, that'd be fine, definitely.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'd like to see what she thinks. I mean, I, for one, don't see anything wrong with having a remote viewer try to look at a case. I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, you know, it's their opinion. Everything is opinion. You know, everything is, you know, we don't have any written records very much. I mean, we've got some Sumerian tablets. We've got some Egyptian hieroglyphics. But other than that, we don't have a lot written in 400 AD. We just don't. So, I mean, we have a lot of oral tradition. So why don't we take the one person, which is a remote viewer, and I mean Jessica. You know, if Robin can't make it, we'll talk to Jessica because she's a remote viewer, Jessica Jones,
yep.
And maybe she can do it. We got a lot of remote viewers that we can. What's the word that we can ask to kind of give us their opinion? I think it's fine. So Matt, do you like that idea as well?
Oh yeah, definitely. Any type of info that we can get on this, because this whole situation it's kind of brought me to light to, we see these ghosts, we see these apparitions, and like what was going on there, is this just something else going on in a different time frame that these people are witnessing in these areas, these ghosts supposedly, or these, you know, entities that's going on from the past or from the future, and it's going on in real time to them in that time frame, but in your house, stuff's kind of moving around, but on their side of it, too, stuff was kind of moving around. So kind of makes you wonder, okay, so are these ghosts supposedly, is it just a different time frame paralleling each other? And I used to be a total kind of I wasn't a skeptic, but I was always fascinated with these parallel planes and stuff until I had an event that happened in Cataloochee Valley in North Carolina.
Matt, stop and tell us the story. That's a really interesting story, okay?
Okay, well, it was really weird because my parents, they're always big on Christmas lights and stuff, and this was, I think it was the end of November, and it was winter. It was cold. Leaves had already fallen. They're like, hey, you want to go with us look at Christmas lights? So I'm like, sure. So we load up, and we're going to go to Gatlinburg, but my dad decides to go through the gorge there in North Carolina and cut across the mountain into there. So we're on the North Carolina side. Well, just for some random reason, he just says, hey, let's check out Cataloochee Valley. So he drives down into it, and we get down there, and I see some elk. I see a mama bear, and she's got two cubs. So I get out of the vehicle, and I start videoing, and I'm taking pictures. My dad gets out at one point, and he's taking some pictures. My mom stays in the vehicle the entire time. It was kind of weird.
She didn't want it, Matt, she didn't want any part of that bear, did she?
No, she said she would take pictures and video from inside the vehicle. So, of course, me, I'm out there in front of the mama bear, and two little ones, and I'm videoing it, and I'm thinking, this is great. I got great footage. Well, and I look at this. There's an old house, old farmstead there. Now, so I am looking back, and I start looking down at my phone. Well, I start kind of feeling a little nauseous, kind of my head's kind of, you know, kind of feeling a little dizzy, nauseous. I'm like, what in the world? And I look down at my phone, and it's showing the date, August 24th at like 11:34. I can't remember if it's a.m. or p.m. And I'm like, what in the world? And so my whole time, everything on my phone had changed. I'm feeling sick. And my dad, his phone had changed, but it wasn't August 24th. It was something else. And he's feeling nauseous and sick. So we get in the vehicle, and we're like, okay, we need to get out. Me and him physically start upset stomach. We start throwing up. So we're like, man, we don't know what's wrong. My mom's perfectly fine, but she stayed inside the vehicle. So we get out of that area. We're driving back out. We're sick. We're feeling horrible. Once we get out of that area, all of a sudden, within, you know, 20, 30 minutes, we start feeling a little better each as time went on, and we started feeling and then we're perfectly fine. And so we're excited about these pictures that we had taken, and I had this video of these bears and this elk and everything, and I get a look, and then as soon as you open up your gallery, it shows the pictures that you just recently took, and they're all in a time frame. Well, none of my pictures are on there. I'm like, what the heck? So I'm mad. And my dad's didn't show up there either. And I'm like, well, what in the world? My mom looked at her. She said, well, I got my pictures. That's what I get for staying in the truck, you know. So she's kind of rubbing it in.
There you go, Matt.
I had some good pictures, though. And I'm like, man, it makes me mad. And so I kind of start scrolling through my pictures, and I'm going back to the gallery. And I was like, well, what was that time? And I remembered, oh, yeah, because I believe I took a screenshot. But even the screenshot wasn't there in my screenshot section. So I'm going back through, and I see the screenshot, and I'm going back to the past because I'm just scrolling through all these pictures I got. And it's all the pictures that I had taken then in late November had showed up on August 24th in my gallery. It's like time had went back in time. Like I had got caught. It was weird, like possibly an overlap of time frames. And everything had changed. And all my pictures are now in the August 24th time, but not in the, you know, in the present. And I thought, well, that's really odd. And then as I look back through, okay, North Carolina, Tennessee line, they got a lot of these feral humans that they talk about, caveman-type people. Kind of goes on with my research as well. And most of them are on the North Carolina side, Cataloochee Valley, where I was currently at the time, and close to it, mostly on the North Carolina side, where I had my weird, strange, high strangeness event, as I like to call it. So everything I'm thinking, okay, so if these parallel universes are crossing over, and it kind of goes on with the Donaldson, of course, these things are usually over ley lines, but you get these time overlaps. So if these humans or whatever are getting caught in these different universes, and some of them are getting stuck in our present time, do you see where I'm going at with this, with these feral human or cavemen? Maybe they're getting stuck in that area, these areas, because they're usually over ley lines. The Donaldson house was over a very active ley line.
Yes, it was.
So all this stuff, I believe, that we're experiencing, these things are from different time frames, is what I'm feeling from this. You know, your ghost, your possibly from the future, these 5D things that are coming into our 3D consciousness, they're probably coming from a different time frame. And they have from the future, like 2109 said, they've already developed a way of how they can transport in and out. It just opens up a whole new window to my research now. Because we always thought, oh, this spirit wants to hang around this one area, this ghost. I don't think it's because of that area or this ghost. It's because something else is going on in that time frame. The veil is really thin between the different parallel universes, planes, whatever you want to call it, time frame. Because time, they say, does not exist. It only exists to us in our consciousness and our world that we're in right now. Man created time. Do I make any sense or do I sound loony?
No, I mean, we created time. And, I mean, time doesn't exist for Bigfoot. Time doesn't exist for animals. I mean, they're just there. I mean, they know when they get hungry. Cat knows when it gets hungry and it goes wants to find food. And knows when he gets tired, it just lays down wherever it is. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of the way reality works. We have got this amazing bunch of machinery that we have created to tell time. And we're always watching the clock. Right, Matt?
Exactly.
I mean, I'll never forget, I was working as hard as I could on my Comic-Con, and I'm just watching the time go by saying, oh, gosh, I got to get this done. I got to get this done. So, yeah, we're really tied into time. So, Kyler, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I kind of started thinking about that more and more lately. And, you know, sometimes it gets frustrating because if you didn't think of time, I mean, can you imagine how much you would get done not having to stress or, you know, think about it? It's kind of cool to think about.
Yes, it really is. We'd probably get a whole lot more done, but we're tied to time. And so it is just a really interesting thing. And by the way, it's at the bottom of the hour, and I want to say thank you very much to our sponsors tonight, Transamerica Life Insurance Corporation and the Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic-Con, which is coming up on February the 18th, 2022, at the Sturgeon Center in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Be there, be square. Or be square, and we're going to have a grand time about like we did in Havelock, North Carolina this weekend. So anyway, thanks to our sponsors, we're back now. And what I'll say is, you know, we're having a good time, and we're talking about this very mysterious thing that happened. It's like, you know, it's like, to be honest with you, this is reminiscent of analog horror. Now, do either one of you know much about analog horror?
I don't know.
Okay, that's
no,
fine. Well, what analog horror is, when you take old computers and you look at messages on there and see how they can be fit, how you can fit them into a plot of a movie, it's really cool and it's really interesting. So, I mean, that this is right out of analog horror, and I think the King Kong Bundy kind of analog horror movies was Videodrome starring Debbie Harry back in the mid-80s. And then it's just gone on. It's an interesting genre of film. It's horror. And it's a lot of fun, but it does use these old computer messages, which I think is really cool. And in the documentary that they had something that looked like an Apple IIe. And I thought, oh, my Lord, I haven't seen an Apple IIe in 100 years. But anyway, that's kind of what they used, and it was very effective. And this idea of 2109 being an entity alongside Thomas from 1521, alongside with the humans that were living there, I mean, it's an interesting phenomenon, and I look forward to Robin, or if Robin can't be here, Jessica. And we'll see if we can get some answers from the remote viewers. I mean, I don't know where to go, but sometimes if you don't know, ask a remote viewer. You'd be surprised what you get. Right, Matt?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. If you notice that all these high strain events usually happen in a certain area, usually where you have Bigfoot activity, you have UFO activity, you have ghost paranormal, you're seeing different orbs, different lights. So these high strange event areas are probably usually over a ley line where this energy field. So stuff, I believe, is crossing over in these areas. And I believe whenever we do have some of these rogue events like the skunk ape that was going on in 2003 in La Follette, Tennessee that I was investigating, or some of these other episodes, that some of these things are getting caught and they can't make it back over. The lower dimension beings, and same way with the feral humans, and like I said, these ghost apparitions, or and people too, disappearance, people disappearing, just out of the blue, just disappearing, no trace, no nothing. Are these mirror universes? You know, are they got to be crossing over somehow? And if the way I was explaining time travel was pretty much like, it's not really time travel, it's just different dimensions, different universes. Like if you take a mirror and you're holding a little mirror in your hand and you're in the bathroom and you got your wall mirror and you turn around and you look in the small mirror to your reflection behind you, and you'll see yourself holding that mirror like several times in each mirror. And that's how they try to explain how the whole multiple universe actually is. It's just mirror images, but we're only aware because our consciousness is in this one universe or time frame, whatever you want to call it. It's really opened
right.
up a lot to me.
Each one of those multiple universes is slightly different than ours.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's where in the rub lies. That's what makes it kind of strange. So anyway, it's very interesting. And it's just something that we need to probably ought to have a physicist on. And maybe I can find us one. I know where two of them work, and I'll see if one of them would like to come on our episode. Because, I mean, we're just opening up interesting avenues of questions. And if we can get some people that know a little bit about it, I mean, you know, the fact is, Matt, you and I and Kyler, we are at least covering the story, and it's a matter of getting other people who are knowledgeable in these areas and, you know, to talk about us or to talk about them with us. So I'll see if I can, you know, we'll see if we can get a remote viewer and a physicist. I think that's exactly what we need. So we'll go on from there and do that. So now, Matt, have you come across any types of time warp? I'd call this a time warp thing. Have you come across any other time warp events like this that you can think of?
Well, and it was kind of weird in the Roan Mountain. I've talked about it before, 1984, which is still down from the Smoky Mountains there. Two boys that went missing in 1984 within weeks of each other. One of them was younger. I can't remember. He was like six, maybe 5 or 6 years old. And he was just a couple feet from his mom. They were camping, and she had him get some water from this creek. And he went to get water from the creek, and then all of a sudden he just disappeared. So for 4 or 5 days, they had a number of people going through searching for him. And when he finally reappeared, and 2 weeks later in the same area, a little bit higher up on the mountain. Now this time was in the spring, it would get warm during the day and then get below freezing at night. So these boys went hiking, they get to the top, and they're hiking up there and they get hot, so that one boy takes his shirt off. Well, he has to use the bathroom. Well, he steps off the trail to use the bathroom, and he disappears. They spend 4 or 5 days looking for him. He returns finally. So now this is what's the interesting part of this was the young boy, whenever he returned, he was right where they had searched several times over and over again. And the little boy was, he was out during the cold, but he was not, he didn't suffer from hypothermia or any of that. He had a couple scratches on him from the briars where he was walking through the briars. But the little boy had explained that he was yelling at his mom and waving his hands at her, but she could not hear him. He could see her, but she could not hear him. And that he had ate, that's the thing too, he had a full stomach. He said that he went to this cabin where his grandpa, who was deceased, was living at, and had brought him in, fed him, and all this stuff. And when he went back outside, that's when he come out to where supposedly they had found him at, just right where he went missing. But yet, his grandpa didn't pass away, but yet he had food from him, and his stomach was full, which was really weird. Now, the other boy, what was weird was when he returned, he had a curtain wrapped around him, an old drape from, you know, your curtain you put on your windows from a house. And he said that he had went into this old house. It was so cold. He didn't have a shirt. So he took the curtain off the windows and wrapped it around him. And when he returned, of course, he had that curtain still with him wrapped around him. And this whole time, the park had claimed there are no structures in that area that they, for miles in that park area, the house, there was no house there. There was no cabin. So did that young boy, I wonder, did he go back in time to his grandpa's? Now, like I said, this is all within line of where I had that weird glitch going on with my phone, the pictures, and I got nauseous. It's all in line with that area, and a little bit farther south, going to the Tennessee and where Georgia, just south of Tellico Plains, there's a certain area. Every time I drive through it, my phone, the time will change on it. It will go back or forward in time. It's nuts because it's nowhere near the, nowhere near, this is on the eastern side of Tennessee. So nowhere near the time zone change. And there's a waterfall. I'm trying to think of where it's at. It's, you go past Tellico Plains, like you're going down towards northern Georgia. But there aren't any. It was weird because, you know, you're far enough away from the time zone change, all that stuff, for it to even mess. But the phone would jump up several hours or several so far behind. And I've had that same thing happen several times in certain areas, especially where we research, where we have high strange events. Of course, you know, I'm part of the Meadow Project, not too far from there. I experience my phone jumping behind time 2 or 3 hours or jumping ahead 2 or 3 hours. It's really strange. So all these high strange event areas, it's like time is being altered.
And Matt, real quick, when you go in these areas, I know you bring a bunch of equipment and tools with you. I mean, is there anything shown in those areas? Like, is a radiation spike? Is there something that at least shows, like, okay,
yeah,
there's obviously something wrong here?
Anytime we have activity, there's always a radiation spike. So that's high energy, of course, super strong energy. And as I learned from before, where you have portals open up and stuff, you got to have enough energy power from like a solar flare or nuclear power to open up these with a zero magnetic field. So anytime we have weird, strange events and activity going on, we notice that there's always a spike in radiation in these areas. So I'm kind of curious now to, I need to take a Geiger counter with me, and I need to go back to Cataloochee Valley. And if anything else happens like that, one with me at all times when I start experiencing that, to see if there's a radiation spike during that time.
And is it just kind of random spikes, or is it like it's always in a certain amount of, like it stays in a certain area of range, I guess, of what is what I'm saying.
For example, one of our investigations, we had a I got a call from one of my team members, Kristen. I was just going to trying to make it to base camp, and she's like, "Where are you at?" And I'm like, "I'm just in Atlanta. I'm still 2-3 hours out." And she's like, "Well, we got activity going on at base camp." And what we do when we set up these things, we'll take a baseline reading of the area of the radiation, what it is. And then we measure it from that. You know, we'll do several measures throughout the day. Now, what was going on then at that time was we always have somebody at base camp, and our teams go out, disperse in a couple teams, depends on how many's with us at the time. And we've all got radios, contact back and forth to base and all of so forth to log down the time and everything. Well, at that time, base camp had their electronics was messing up. They were hearing some kind of weird chatter, like a chatter language going on. It was going on around them. And the baseline reading, I believe, was a 0.8, but it had jumped all the way up to, I can't remember if it was like a 1.9, something similar. I mean, it almost doubled. I've got a video actually in Mecro, if you go back and look, and it's Bob, who Grumpy, they call him Grumpy because he was on that show Killing Bigfoot, but he's explained and he's telling the baseline readings to what it jumped to, the radiation had spiked to during this activity. And of course, I was so far away, I couldn't make it there right then at the time. Told them I was on my way, but Kristen, her group was 3 miles hiked out from base camp. And they were trying to make it back to base camp. And the time I got there, everything had slowed down, and radiation was back down to where it was. But, of course, you know, they keep everything recorded, documented. But we've noticed every time we have activity, there's always a huge radiation spike. It'll almost double. Sometimes I think they had like a 3. It went from like a point something up to a 3 before. So, you know, a significant amount is always whenever you have these high strange events. So something is either opening, something the energy is really high, allowing stuff to enter or exit, or causing, I believe it caused a lot of our equipment malfunctioning and so forth. But, yeah, we always have high radiation count every time we usually have some sort of activity, whether it be a Bigfoot activity, whether it be orbs, whether it's disembodied voices, hearing a lot of, like, metal stuff. It's kind of weird. I've heard car doors. I thought it was weird. You're out in the middle of nowhere, and you're hearing, like, a big, sounds like a car door slamming shut. What that is, we don't know. But you'll get weird languages. But it's always in these same areas, usually. And there's always a spike in radiation.
Well, that's very interesting. Yeah. It really is, and we'll have to have some more discussions about this. So I guess I'm going to give each one of you, then myself, a final question. So, Kyler, what question do you have for Matt and I about all this wonderful material we've discussed?
Let me think. With the story that we started with, you know, the communicating with someone from the past and the future at the same time through a computer. That listening to that story today was like that's the first time I've heard. Yeah, that was. It doesn't make sense, but for some reason I'm still like, yes, that makes sense. I mean, from all this the information that they were fact checking and everything, it was cool to hear about, but I'm like trying to picture how in the world, I mean, I guess, how are you guys putting this together? Like, have you heard something like this before? That's the first time I've ever heard of this, or have us talk about it. And how do you even think that if it happened right now, if you somehow got on a computer and something happened like this, I mean, what would be going through your head?
this is the first that, I mean, I've heard about, you know, ghost activity because they had ghost activity going on in their home as well. But it kind of makes sense now if somebody else is living in your home in a different time frame, then they're just going about their everyday business, but yet you're seeing the activity there at your house because the veil's super thin. So they're not really dead. Their just time frame is different from yours, but you're still in the same area, and it's overlapping somehow. So the whole ghost and stuff like that, apparitions, people saying, like at Gettysburg or someplace like that, I wonder, I don't know what the energy level there, the if there's a ley line there or what, but if you can still see stuff from the past going on, I'm wondering if this stuff's just not overlapping. But which, of course, like I said, they had poltergeist stuff going on, chairs being moved. I've heard stuff like that happen a lot. But now it kind of makes sense if something else is living in that same area in the time frame. It's just different, but yet they're overlapping somehow. That's the first time I've heard somebody from the future, though, coming through, which I thought was interesting. Because it's usually we hear stuff about ghost activity, stuff like that. It's usually the past. But that's the first time I've heard something about the future.
Yeah, 2109, that was really, really strange to me. And then the more they talked about it and the more you guys talked about it, the more it just sounded like a group calling themselves 2109. So I was a little confused there,
exactly,
too.
They said something about, I can't remember if they said that they were a gas form or they're fed off of a gas form that we're not familiar with yet. I'm not real sure. But they knew what was going on during that time, like whenever they had the SPA investigators there, and they knew them by name, and they said, have so-and-so sit with Debbie next time, or, you know, just to show that they knew what was going on, and to be, you know, they moved the computer and written stuff on the wall or on the floor. So it goes to show, you know, a lot of this stuff that we think could be a demon or a poltergeist is actually somebody from a different time era that is overlapping in that area that you're at. So they write something and it manifests into our reality.
Yeah, that's some pretty serious, heavy stuff going on in that house that I would not like to be a part of.
Well, you know, this is an observation that I'd like to make, because a poltergeist is in general something that a person who is located real near you is creating with additional energy. At least that's what we studied at the Ryan Institute of Parapsychology, is that that's what a that's what a poltergeist is. So you got to think about it. That poltergeist is acting through time. It's kind of interesting because, like, you know, just think of a movie. Think about Poltergeist. You know, the little girl was creating these weird things that were happening, and you know, it's just like so. So anyway, that's the only thing I've got to say. I might not really have any way to be going on this, but just wanted to say that. Does anybody have a radio going on right now?
I don't. I can hear an echo.
No.
I hear your echo.
I was hearing a child talk.
Marilla.
No, that's all you.
You better believe
it. I heard something that sounded like an echo. I thought you were echoing, but it could have been a child.
No, I don't think so. But anyway, whatever. All right, Matt, do you have a question or a comment you'd like to make?
No, another cool thing that we've been doing now is, like, if we find Bigfoot tracks and stuff, got to check them for radiation. That way you'll know if this being had come from some sort of a portal or something. It helps a lot if you're investigating this stuff. But ever since I started doing that, though, I haven't really got any good leads on any tracks here recently to test that theory. But that's one thing I'm wanting to test, is I'm wanting to, if I see Bigfoot tracks and I find some tracks, I want to measure the radiation, see if there's radiation coming from that track. because we know that if they come from that, they're going to be radioactive, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, well, that's great. It. And, Kyler, you had a great thought. And I guess this is Dr. John, and I've enjoyed hearing what we've had to say. I've enjoyed reviewing this wonderful case study, and we'll be back on this one in 2 weeks, at least with a remote viewer, if not maybe a physicist, and talk a little bit more about it. I should get a copy of this magnificent book here within about a week, and we'll just move forward from there. So if there's no further business to be brought in front of this board, I guess it's time to take a motion to adjourn, and I'll make the motion, and we'll say Kyler seconded it, and we'll say that we've had a great time tonight. It's always good to have Matt Delph. It's always good to have Kyler Smith here. Matt, be sure to share this on MECRO, Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization. I'll share it. Well, it's already on ScaryCast. So I want to say thank you guys for being with us tonight. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll talk to you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel on ScaryCast Tuesday. And don't forget that tomorrow, now Jessica Jones is going to have me on her show. So I'm going to take the link that she sent me, and I'm going to put it up tonight if I can find my computer. Yeah, there it is. And I think it's going to be grand. We're going to have a wonderful time. So everybody come join us. We're going to talk about who shot Lincoln and who shot JFK. The real version, I say, of the story. So, look, thanks a lot to everybody. We've enjoyed having you. We'll be back next week on ScaryCast Tuesday. Now, everybody say goodbye. Say goodbye, Matt.
Good night. Goodbye, everyone.
Say goodbye, Tyler. And I'll say bye. Take care.